Hello, Podites, and welcome to the most ill-prepared podcast you will listen to this week. I know this because I have no notes, and my two podmates have no notes either. I'm James Sharman, Thomas Dobby, John Molinaro are here. Was it all up top in the head or what?
It's all in the brain. Yeah? J-Mo's got it in the beard, and I've got
I didn't tell you. It's magnificent, isn't it? It's magnificent.
It's quite the beard.
It's the Pirlo look, as I said.
I'm impressed.
It's more Roy Keane, man, because Pirlo's
got
enough
gray. It is Roy Keane, yeah.
You got a lot of gray in that bad boy. It's almost Sol from Homeland, actually.
I haven't seen it.
No?
Yeah, I don't know that reference.
He has a nice dulcet tones like you do as well.
Ooh, yeah, dulcet. I like that. Yeah,
it showed up with a notepad full of notes. Charmin's like, oh, is that your notes for the pod? No, it was from a meeting.
What was the meeting about?
I'm just looking ahead for next week for my television show.
Can I please come on at some point?
No, it's not Champions League next week.
You're qualifying.
Yeah, maybe.
Come on.
We'll see.
It's a property, Tom.
Maybe. We'll
it's
see.
It's a Sportsnet property.
All right. We'll
please
talk about this later.
I really want to be on your show.
I know you do. I usually have you on once every couple
of
weeks.
You do, actually. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, you and Cebulski have a good little rapport, yeah.
That's right.
All right.
So I'll just cross off my list here. J-Mo's beard. Discussed that.
Okay.
Next up.
Jeez.
No, but you know how it is, right? I admit this to the listeners that when it's European week, I run from the studio from hosting Europa League up here. I've done no preparatory work whatsoever.
But you guys have had time all week, so you've done prep.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's the prep.
Well, should we start with Champions League then?
Oh, I thought we'd start with Europa League.
No, you didn't. Okay. Hey, Jonathan de Guzman, hat-trick.
Hat-trick.
Yeah.
And that's enough. That's it for the Europa League.
No, listen, Astras, I thought, played very well today in the loss. Did Quagmire win?
Dnipropetrovsk beat FK Karabag 2-1.
That's what I said.
Spotless
Karabag, pronunciation. Not Quagmire.
Who is Karabag?
You know, it's funny, and no offense to the tournament, but for years I used to rip the fact that the Champions League teams drop into it, but now I'm crying out for them to drop into it.
Mm.
Please. Anyway, let's talk about Champions League, shall we? Let's talk about Leo Messi. How about that? We'll start with that one. Leo Messi, having watched Ronaldo do the old big donut the day before, he scores two goals. He equals Raul's record. Do you think Ronaldo watched that game? And kicked his TV in?
I think he was very upset. And you know what the best part about all of it is? Is that Messi gets the next crack to break it.
That's true.
Because they reverse match days and they're playing Apoel. So it's almost certain that Messi's going to break it before Ronaldo gets to play again. It's really perfect. It really is ideal.
Yeah, I'm sure he was frustrated. But I mean, this whole, what I hated about it was that it kind of brought back this whole, who's better debate. And it's like,
I know.
It's so pointless. They're such wonderfully gifted footballers. And I was trying to think about it, and I don't remember a time when there was when two of the best players were at such their peak at the same time. I mean, the last time I was thinking about it was probably like Zidane and Figo when they were kind of in their pomp.
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, this is a really special.
Rivaldo was there as well, wasn't he, at the same time?
Yeah, I don't know if he was ever quite.
Maybe for a year.
For a year.
But not. Like,
but
these
that's
guys
sustained.
Have been doing it for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Figo, I think you're right. Figo and
like Ronaldinho and the other Ronaldo at one point were both very elite and kind of battling, but not to this extent.
Not to this extent where it's been sustained and where you think they still have like plenty years left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my point is that it's such a special time, right? We're so fortunate to see these two guys at the height of their powers with plenty left to sort of get into this childish one-upsmanship and, you know, I'm in the Messi camp or I'm in the Ronaldo camp. I just, for me, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, but that's how we are, right, as sports
fans. Totally.
I mean, you want to be like, oh, who's gonna do it first? And ultimately, it doesn't really matter because I don't think that we're going to look back and be like, oh, well, Messi passed Raul first. What we're going to look back on is who ends up with the most at the end, probably, right?
Well, these guys will be going back and forth now.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Are we going to be, you know, when Gretzky scored 802, it's this huge thing.
Yeah.
802, great call, right? Will it be a similarly dramatic call every single time one of them beats the other guy every week? Mm. Oh, Ronaldo's the old one. No, I'm just joking. Of course not.
No.
It's going to be almost ruining this record, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because it's hardly one for the ages. It's going to be broken over and over again. Messi's 27. Ronaldo's 29, so you would think that if they both play the same length, Messi will clearly have the record one day. Yeah. But I just don't know if he'll last that long. I see Ronaldo as being this machine who's probably got more longevity in him than Messi.
You've been calling a serious Messi injury for about 5 years now.
Well, last year we thought we had it.
Yeah.
Right? That last year was that year when he finally began to break down.
Yeah.
He's actually, he's flown over a physician, his trainer from Argentina, who's living with him right now, because Messi says he doesn't quite feel right and he's expecting a serious injury at some point.
Mm. Well, that's not good.
So before you shout me down and my prognostication the last
for
5 years,
you've been saying
he plays every game,
gonna
man.
He's going to break down. He's playing too many fixtures. He can't possibly.
He plays every single game. He has done.
That's what you've
and
said
And that's Ronaldo
years.
Now as yeah. well.
So that's all I'm saying. I'm just calling you on something that you keep harping
and
on.
It must still happen.
It hasn't happened. You're going to be thrilled when it does.
I'm so happy.
Vindication.
Did you see that knee? Did you see his knee? Oh my God, it's disgusting.
Shattered his leg.
Called it.
So who's the best anyway out of these two players?
Luis Adriano.
Oh, okay. Luis Adriano is it's just 8 scoring. Goals in 2 games.
He's going to break the record in no time.
My good God, that's
yeah, but
incredible.
What, 7 of those are against?
Doesn't matter. You can't.
Borisov. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Europa League team.
Yes.
To be honest.
If they're lucky.
If they're lucky, yeah. But it is interesting, and I'm with you. I think Ronaldo is so furious
seething.
About this.
Seething.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that Messi... He tied the record too on the same day that Ronaldo received the Golden Ball Award for
another
score.
Award.
Another
one.
Yeah.
So, what was that for again? That was for?
For being like the top domestic scorer in Europe last year. So it's like, oh my God.
Anyone but South Americans?
No, it's just in Europe.
Yeah, yeah, but saying it's best domestic player in Europe.
In Europe, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Domestic being someone from Europe.
Yes, anyone in Europe. So
anyone but South America.
It's basically
anyone that plays in Europe.
No, anyone that plays in Europe.
Oh, all of Europe.
So basically,
the continent.
Exactly.
What a stupid award.
Yeah.
There's enough awards.
What was the other one? The Golden Foot?
Yeah. you remember this one, James?
Anybody
was
over the age
over
of 28 or something?
It was 28? Over 28, you're right.
Yeah.
Over 28. This is about a month
over
ago.
Over 28.
Now. Yeah. It was a warning.
You haven't heard this one?
Is no. Yes, they got it or something?
Golden Foot. Yeah. We've talked about this in like 4 straight pods. I always forget.
Really?
Thanks for listening.
The Golden
James.
Foot. Iniesta wins it ahead of Ronaldo, Rooney, and other guys. And you can only win it once in your career, and it's over the age of 28. The best player in the world over the age of
28.
The Golden
award
Foot.
Is that?
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. If you don't know about it, it must be dumb. Wow. Yeah.
Hey, is Ronaldo married to Irina Shurka? Is that her name?
I don't know.
Is he married to her?
I don't think they're don't think actually
married.
They're
not that dumb, is he?
They have got a kid.
They've got a kid, have they?
I believe so, yeah. I think, really? Well, he does have a kid, and I do think it's with her.
Is it hers?
Yeah.
Google it, Tom.
All right.
So I made some joke about it yesterday and it was
what should
joke.
I put Ronaldo baby mama is that what I should Google
yeah probably
I don't know how to look
right.
that up
I don't think it was hers I think he's got one but
it
it's
might
not
have
hers.
Been with
American girl
okay I'm going to an article way back in 2010
it's Messi as a
Ronaldo's you know. Baby mama is revealed by Google. Footballers one night stay with penniless waitress ends with baby and £10 million paternity bill this is like 4 years old though
yeah so the kid's 4 now
I guess so,
so. He'll be signed up pretty soon
no now mom of Cristiano Ronaldo's baby is British student.
Well, listen, he may have many
right.
kids, right?
This is dumb.
If you're Ronaldo and you're having that much sex, there's a good chance that you've got a kid somewhere, right?
Right? I would imagine.
He walks down the street and he has sex without even knowing it. Like, seriously, if you're Ronaldo, you lose, you know, you have no idea who you were banging this morning. There's so many
must
people.
Must be nice.
It must be amazing.
Must
so
be
I'm,
great.
He must have a kid somewhere.
I love the direction we're going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
as I always tell you, Jomo, this is the worst podcast.
It's not as good as the Monday. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, of course his son is named Cristiano Ronaldo Jr.
Of course.
Shocker.
So this girl he has sex with leaves her, assumes that he'll never speak to her again. Suddenly turns out he's got a kid. Oh, well, okay, then let's name him after me for £10 million, basically, right? Yeah, all right.
An American woman conceived when he had a fling with an American woman.
All right, other games this week. Let's talk about Man City, shall we?
Doof.
And their utter capitulation at the hands of Cheska Moscow. They melted down, lost 2-1, had 2 players sent off. What Yaya was thinking on numerous occasions in that game. We saw the good, the bad, the ugly, then we have Yaya. We saw the bad being that awful defensive effort and the opening goal.
Oh, the opening goal. Brutal.
Then he scored that gorgeous free kick. And then the, you know, the petulance when he slapped the player down. And it's so sad because last week I thought Yaya looked really good addressing those Twitter haters and the racists on Twitter.
Right.
He looked good. He stood up, and it was very impressive. And then he sadly follows up with another awful performance. Is this club just broken? Is it just Europe? I mean, in the Premier League, they're not playing too badly. They're getting results. They haven't been great, but they're not playing badly. But in the Champions League, it's like this hex comes over them, and they just cannot play their game.
Yeah, what is it? I mean, we've been trying to put our finger on it for a few weeks now with City in the league. And, I mean, those issues come out to the forefront always in Europe for some reason. I mean, last year they finally got out of a group and then you know, had a tough draw and weren't able to go any further. And you thought, okay, well, now they got their feet wet. They got through a group, get it drawn into this very difficult group. But I mean, to get 1 point against CSKA Moscow in back-to-back weeks, it looked like they were fine. 2-0 up in Russia. They capitulate there. And you think, okay, well, they only got a point. They'll come home, they'll win this one, set themselves up to at least have a chance. I'm struggling to put my finger on it. I really can't figure out why it happens and why the tenseness around the club is there. You can feel it in the stands. It's a library in there on Champions League night.
And it's 2-1 tickets yesterday as well. It was supposed to be packed.
Unbelievable. I mean, when you look at, you take Liverpool, for instance, I mean, the way that Anfield is up for these European nights, and granted, it's been a while since they've had them, but when you compare it to Man City, this isn't a club that has this rich history and this rich past of success, especially in Europe. I mean, this is new. You'd think that this would be what they're all gunning for. And this is, you know, basically why Mancini lost his job, is because they couldn't succeed in Europe. And Pellegrini was brought in to bring them success in Europe. And again, it's a complete and utter disaster.
I think what it is, a team like City, right? They've had such a tough go over the last, you know, couple of decades up until the last few years. And they haven't been a successful club. And you have that hardcore minority of fans who have been with that club through thick and thin, and they love their team, and they're going to be loud, but it's a minority. There's a lot of plastic fans there.
Yeah.
A lot of guys who've discovered City since they started winning games, and they don't understand what this tournament means and what they should be doing. What else can it be? You know, and I'm sure if you ask a diehard City faithful who's been there through the lows and the highs now, that's what they'll say. There's a lot of guys here who don't really understand what this means.
I think it might have been Craig on the broadcast yesterday. I don't think it was you. It was far too articulate a point. Good a point. Look around that team, and other than Vincent Kompany, who's a leader on that team?
Oh, that was me.
Yeah,
was it you?
That was me.
Yeah, who's going to grab him by the scruff? That was a very good point then.
Well, I watched that game, and you have Kompany there. Who you watch him? He's barking orders.
Other than that, he's trying to direct,
and there's no one else doing anything. Yaya was supposed to be that
guy. Michaelis is so overrated. They have no grit. They have no steel other than Kompany in that back line.
Maybe it's boring Milner.
James Milner is playing consistent. I mean,
I like Milner.
Navas floats in and out of games.
Well, and then you see who comes on. Nasri comes on. Mr. Personality, Mr. Leader himself.
Should have got sent off. Well, booted that
guy. Despicable human being.
Yeah, I mean, just there isn't that.
It's a chemistry. As simple as that. Chemistry.
I think they won the championship
last year with that same squad.
But again, I think we've talked about this a lot, that was due a lot to the failings of the other teams around them. I mean, they had to rely on Liverpool falling apart at the end and Man United having an awful down year and there being no one really there to challenge it for. Chelsea were just back in their first year under Mourinho trying to gel again. And I think this year you're already seeing that Chelsea are so much of a more consistent, better team, especially, you know, domestically than them, that I don't think City are even close to the race for winning the title this year.
I wonder if it's just all psychological, like in terms of the discrepancy in their form between domestic and Europe. Because when I watch them in Europe this season, they just seem to be playing like so timidly and conservatively and without any confidence. And like yesterday, those mistakes were like brutal. I mean, the Clichy gave away on the second goal. I mean, you know, does he make a mistake? I can't remember him making an error like that in the Premier League. And then Toure, the way he just was like a statue on that goal and letting, you know, the guy just sort of walk in and nod at home.
When you're being yelled at by Di Michaelis, you know you've done something very
exactly,
wrong.
Yeah.
Very wrong indeed. Yeah, it's a mystery. Simple as that.
It is.
I'm sure Pellegrini will get blamed for it. And it might cost him his job, but same for Mancini. You know, there's something that maybe it is mental, but
now
it's chemistry.
I should say too, though, I mean, like, It is a difficult group, right? I mean, you can sort of downplay CSKA Moscow as that's a Russian team, but they're quite a useful side. Bayern Munich, it's Bayern Munich. Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, other than Real Madrid, I would argue they're the best club in the world. And AS Roma, you know, the last 2 years have been playing very well under Rudy Garcia. So these aren't exactly chumps that they're in there with.
No, and it is difficult.
It is difficult. That said, I mean, what is it, 2 points that they've got off of?
Here's the thing, though. They're not done. And here's the incredible thing. And we're all kind of saying this. Do I think they're going to get through? No, because I can't see them turning it. But here's the luxury they have. Their next game, they play at home to Bayern, who have now already won the group.
Right.
And could very well and probably will send a very weakened squad out there.
They beat Bayern last year, remember, in the same situation.
Exactly. And they've already won the group. So what do Bayern have to do by sending anyone out there? So say they win that game, they're on 5 points. Roma play Cesca. Regardless of what happens there, they'll have life going into the last game. If Roma wins, all the better, because then all they have to do in the last game is win at Roma. All they have to do. That's going to be very tough for them. But they have still a very good chance to go through if they can win their two games. Going to be tough to turn that around, but who knows? And I mean, you look at how this campaign started. I thought they played really well at Bayern the first game. They went there. They held them 0-0 for a long time. There wasn't that many chances. They played okay. By the end, they started having to batten down the hatches. They conceded with basically the last kick of the game. And that changed everything, right? And maybe that plays into the psychological factor.
Could be. Yeah.
They thought, we played well, and it's happening again. We couldn't get out of there with a point. It was so close. And now you look at it, it's a huge point. And then the campaign's just kind of gone awry from there. So I still think that they have a shot. There's still, you know, reason to have optimism if you're a City fan.
I think it's probably just the makeup of the team, though, and it's probably psychological. It's just the fact that they haven't got those guys. You mentioned the leaders to pull that team to where it should be, because look at it, talent-wise, you can't question.
No.
They're world-class.
No, of course.
They've got a successful coach, have had in the past as well. And they have schoolboy errors. So, yeah, we'll find out. I can't believe you're suggesting that Pep would field a weakened team. No coach ever does that in these kind of games.
Good segue.
Real Madrid beat Liverpool 1-0. Brendan Rodgers arrests some stars, some great world-class players who have made no mistakes at all this year and haven't been, you know, under the cosh by the fans and media, you know, at all. So, you know, what was he thinking?
I mean,
Tom, you and I disagree with this vehemently. I think what he did was fine.
I think both of you guys are okay with it. Here's my thing. I'm not a Liverpool fan. You are. If my side goes into a glamour match like that,
your team doesn't go into glamour matches, so it's Sheffield United.
Correct. So if my team were to ever go into a glamour match like that and field a weakened team, I'd be horrified. That is the biggest game of your season at Real Madrid.
No, it's not.
I know. Chelsea is on the weekend, right?
Well, it's bigger than this game, sure. Chelsea's irrelevant too.
The mentality to go into it and say, we're going to lose anyways, let's just play a weakened side, is such a loser mentality for a club like Liverpool who are trying to get back into that elite level. I hate what it says.
But they're still a long way off that elite level.
I hate what it says.
And it's a question of managing the season at this point. You go into Real Madrid, yeah, it's defeatist, but you cannot win that game. You're probably not going to win that game. And it's different if you're playing well. If you're playing well in the league and Gerrard's playing superbly, Lovren's been a force back there, Sterling's, you know, back to where he was last year, and you do it, okay. But these guys have not played well. Yeah. They've been crucified the last month of the season, and now he drops them. Oh, you can't drop these guys. The same people whining about these players' form are now saying, how can you drop them? It was 3-0 at halftime in the first game with Real Madrid, with the stars.
Yeah, and it worked out, and it made Rodgers actually look okay, because what happened ultimately is that they could throw on those guys, try to find that equalizer. If they had got a point
of that,
he
said the idea was to contain and then go out and late. Listen, bottom line is, it could have been more than 1-0. Real dominated that game. Let's not get over that. They smashed him. But I think with Chelsea coming up and managing this group, because it's Basel and Ludogorets now and Liverpool for that second place. That's what it comes down to. Yeah. They're the important games. Ludogorets is a bigger game than this Real Madrid game, which is ridiculous.
I totally get that it makes sense. Don't get me wrong. I understand, right? I know that, okay, we're probably going to get nothing here. We have a big game on the weekend. We still have a chance to get through the group and the other two. I just don't like the message that it sends. And I really couldn't, as a fan, appreciate it. I'm surprised that you can. I get it, because you're looking at it more from a broad perspective.
I also believe that, and I said this before, and we've discussed this in other shows before, Tom, how a manager has his squad of 23 or 25 players, whatever it's going to be, and it's his right to pick any of those players. They're all professionals. They're all footballers. Who cares who he picks? You know, I remember Tony Pulis being just vilified. I think it was Pulis a few years ago for Stoke, resting all his stars in some league game. I think it was Pulis. Regardless, he got actually, I think, got a fine for it.
Yeah.
Was it Pulis?
No, it was Ian Holloway.
Ian Holloway. Yeah, he got, I think, a fine for it.
Against.
And I remember defending him then, saying, that's his prerogative. These guys aren't, you know, the local schoolboy team he's hired for one game. They're on his match day squad every week.
Right.
What's wrong with it?
Yeah, I side with you, James. Like, I think you have to look at it from a management perspective, and it's like, you know, Chelsea's coming up. You've got to sort of put things in perspective and look at the big picture. But I take Tom's point well. I mean, it does send a terrible message, and you're talking about, if you're trying to change the culture at Liverpool of into a winning team, and yes, we can challenge for top four, and yes, we're among the European elite, and you don't roll over in games like this. So I can kind of see it from both ways.
But you know, the worst thing that this club happened to this club was finishing second last year and teasing everyone.
Right. Yeah.
This is now a contender.
Fair enough.
That, they were never that good.
No.
No.
Right? It was a great, fun season. Again, taking advantage of Chelsea's struggles and United's struggles and Arsenal being Arsenal. But they were never a second-place team.
I mean, Suarez and Sturridge and that combination just carried them, and they were able to score the goals, but they always had those defensive issues. And the turnover at the club this year, I mean,
it's going to take
not
a while.
Just losing Suarez, but bringing all these new guys in, and it's going
to
take
Roger
a while.
Says to build that winning mentality, it's not obviously you want to do well this year, but it's not about doing well this year. It's about getting back there next year. You know, it sounds silly, but I get it. I get what you're saying. It's being a perennial Champions League qualifying team, not just a one-off. You know, that being said, they'll play Chelsea and lose on Sunday, on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
More than likely. But you never know. It could be an interesting game. Arsenal, J-Mo, up 3-0 on Anderlecht. And we're thinking, well, you know what? The Gunners have maybe turned the corner, shown some real character now, having come back and won the last match at the death against Anderlecht. And they blow a 3-0 lead at halftime. 3-3. What is happening?
Montreal for committing that stupid foul. With them leading 3-1 in the box when the ball was played in the box, and it was like the Anderlecht player wasn't getting to it. So I'm not sure why he basically rugby tackled him. If he had just let the ball sort of roll on, that would have been fine. But no,
But he's a fullback playing center half.
Well, that's true too. But I mean, still, use your common sense.
I mean,
you've got to exercise proper judgment. And, you know, that opened the gate. That was the turning point, because after that, Anderlecht was just flying, and you just got the sense that they were going to nick it like the way they did, and you know, full credit to them. Down 3-0 and they get a point at the Emirates. You know, it's pretty impressive.
I just think once again it raises all those same old problems we have of Arsenal and the same old questions.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, they're just getting hammered for it, and I mean, rightly so. You never want to do that, but ultimately they're going to get through the group again. They're going to get to the last 16 again in second. And they're going to get another big boy, and it's going to be kind of the same old story. I think that's where the frustration, you know, inherently lies. These kind of results, yes, but I think it's that, what is this club, right?
Yeah.
As a fan of this club, it's so difficult to enjoy the moments that you get, and they finally win that trophy last year. Made it as difficult as you possibly could have by being down 2-0 within, 10 minutes against Hull in the FA Cup final. Finally get that trophy, and you think, okay, maybe this club's turned a corner. And this year, I think that the writing is kind of on the wall that it's going to be another same kind of season. They're going to finish fourth. They'll probably go out in the round of 16 in the Champions League. And I think the frustration for fans is we're stalling. We're just kind of the same thing. And finally, they're spending money and they're bringing in these big name signings. And Mesut Ozil was great for 3 months last year. And now Mesut Ozil is now almost an afterthought. And now Alexis Sanchez is the guy. But he has to carry them. And then what's next? And where do they go? And are they ever going to be that top level elite team again? It's tough to see that right now. It just isn't really there. And I think ultimately, I hate to say, and we always kind of comes back to it, will they ever get there with Arsene Wenger?
I know.
I don't know.
That's a good point. I'm beginning to ask that question as well. And I've defended this guy for a long time, thinking, you know, people calling for his head, you know, being extremely unfair. But you look at it now, it's the same. It's the same problem.
There needs to be a change.
He's so stubborn.
It's so...
And when you look at who's... Okay, it's all very well saying, well, let's get rid of Arsene Wenger. Well, who do you replace him with? And Jurgen Klopp is the name mentioned most often. And you look at his situation right now, Borussia Dortmund.
They're struggling.
They're playing well in the Champions League, but they're awful in the Bundesliga. As the Bundesliga, you know, devolves into this Scottish Premier 2. Really, it is. Yeah. And he's thinking, again, I'm going to lose Marco Reus this summer somewhere. At some point, he's going to say, enough's enough. I've done my time here. I've done all I can, and you're going to keep selling my best players to my rival. Maybe he is the guy available. And if he's available, a guy that quality, maybe it's time to say to Arsene, listen, step away graciously. Go upstairs or whatever you want.
It's been a great run. I mean, what Arsene Wenger's done. But you just feel like the longer that this kind of goes on, and not to say that they're in the depths, but just say that again, they finish fourth this year, go in the last 16, make a run to the FA Cup semifinal, don't win a trophy maybe this year. And that happens again next year. It's just, when does it become that he's almost spoiling what he's done there, because the anger is growing? I think the anti-Arsene Wenger sentiment amongst Arsenal fans, I think that club grows every year.
Yeah.
I really think that it gets bigger. And until they do make a run at a title, dare I say, win a title, or make a run back to a Champions League semifinal. That contingent is just going to get stronger. And I have to kind of say rightly so, because now there's not the excuse, well, he's not spending money. They're spending money. They're spending money with the others now almost.
Well, I'll say this also, for a lot of these teams, the fact that United are in this transition is a huge opportunity.
Absolutely.
Won't be there for much longer.
Massive.
Won't be there for long. Yep. So, you know, take advantage when you can, because the big red machine is going to rise again at some point in the next couple of years. But man, it's a lot of fun while it isn't.
It's fascinating. It really is fascinating.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's get some tweets before we just look at the Premier League weekend coming up here. I sent this tweet out about half an hour ago, so let's see what you got here. Why is Akindele such a douche?
Oh, right.
Weapon there. This is Marcel Seminara is asking this question.
Yeah, so Toshiko Akindele, who, for people who don't know, Calgary-born striker with FC Dallas, but he was born in... he was born in Calgary, but he was raised in the U.S., and he's sort of seeking citizenship. And apparently, the CSA told me that they called him up for the friendly later this month against Panama, and he originally accepted. Mm-hmm. So he was going to earn his first cap. Canada announced its roster today, and apparently Akindele went back, changed his mind.
Uh-oh.
And from what I'm hearing, he's going to play for the U.S. later this month.
In
the full senior side. So it's just a friendly, so it won't officially
but
cap
he's
him.
He's made his mind up.
It certainly looks like he's made his mind up. So, and look, I don't mind that he's changed, that he wants to represent the U.S. That's fine. But if you told the CSA and you accepted the invitation and then just change your mind at the last minute, that's poor. That's really poor.
So the answer to the question, why is Akindele such a douche? It is just sadly the reality of North American football.
Yeah. Well, it's
horrible,
but
it's a fact.
You can't, I think it's poor form for him to say to the CSA, yes, I will accept the call, and then change his mind and go back on that.
Yeah.
If he just said, no, I'm not committed himself, then we're not having this conversation.
Did I mention that the Guzman scored a hat-trick today?
Yeah.
Was that bad timing?
Sorry. Quite ironic, eh?
Francesco Principe is asking, what do you think the problem is with AC Milan scoring? Two words, Fernando Torres. Isn't that right? J-Mo,
yeah,
you follow this team a lot closer than I do, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Torres isn't really doing much. They didn't. I mean, Kensuke Honda, I think he's a wonderful player, and he's got some goals this year, and Jeremy Menez has chipped in with a few, but they don't have an outright number nine
Pipo Inzaghi,
yeah,
for example.
They don't really have that, so and they haven't since they haven't really essentially placed Balotelli, who was coming off a rather lackluster season last year too.
It's so sad to see that team fall from grace somewhat. They should be one of the top teams
Absolutely.
In Europe and competing for Champions League titles.
Yeah.
I'll just make a Serie A point here for a second.
Wow.
I don't know if the goal scoring, they have 18 goals, which by looking at a league table, which is all I'm doing, third most in the league, tied with Juventus for most goals. So,
how many against?
They have 18 goals for, 14 against, where Juventus have 18 for, 4 against. So,
I think it's somewhat clouded, by the fact of their poor defensive record.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're not sort of tearing teams apart. I think that's probably what the tweeter is suggesting.
It's very hard to follow the Serie A these days, isn't it?
It is.
I see.
Very frustrating.
BN and Rai.
Yeah. Still, it's far harder than it used to be. When a certain little network brought the first HD coverage of the Serie A.
Best league
back in the old days.
Yeah.
Serie A replay, remember that? And the rewind.
The rewind.
Oh, it's great.
Mondays.
Tuesday, wasn't it?
I love
Mondays.
I can't remember. Yeah, it was awesome.
I watch that all the time.
The host was amazing, I thought.
Well,
actually, he was a twat, but the actual the highlights are amazing. What is the real Timbit? The real Timbit. Is there another Timbit?
I don't know.
Anyway, biggest transfer bust thus far this season?
That's a good question.
We said Fernando Torres already, who actually hasn't been too horrible, has he, in fairness? Biggest transfer bust so far this season? Going through teams here. Mangala could be the guy, £32 million.
Early to call that a bust, I think.
Yeah.
Lovren,
yeah.
Absolutely.
He was brought over to be the marshal of that back four.
Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw has been pretty awful so far. I mean,
again, though, I thought he's looked better the last couple of weeks, but he's been hurt as well. Although he came to camp fat, right? And that was the issue.
Mm.
So in that case, here's a bust. You show up to Manchester United out of shape, inexcusable. I don't care how old you are.
It's tough to judge this early, but
it's 10
sure
games,
fun, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just going through team by team. A lot of players who have surprised and done really. Ajoa started off so well. He's been crap ever since for Leicester.
Yeah.
It's funny when you look at the early weeks in the season and these guys making a name for themselves and teams playing really well. And within 3 weeks, they're awful.
Mm.
Look at Villa. You know, look at Ajoa. It happens. And then, you know, 10 games isn't even long enough. You've got to give it 20
games.
Christmas time's fair enough.
It's crazy how, you know, these guys are the next big thing. And then they kind of, remember how Michu was just lighting the Premier League?
Wasn't even on the bench
on
today,
fire,
by the way.
And he's just kind of filtered off, goes to Serie A. I mean, maybe it's because I watch the Premier League so much more religiously than the other leagues that
he had that one great season at Swansea.
Such a good year. Yeah, he was just tearing it up. I mean, maybe Graziano Pelle is that next one, because right now he's kind of the toast of the Premier League. But you want to see these guys do it consistently for a couple seasons before you anoint them as the next big thing.
Danny Seton asks, who has Newcastle Baggies this Sunday? Do we?
We do. It's on, but it's on Sportsnet World Now, which is the online service.
Oh, it's online. Okay. Yeah. Okay, get it online. We have only so many channels.
So only show so many.
We've only got like six channels.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Only.
But we split it with the three letters. So. Speaking of being, Jeremy St. Lewis asks me how my guitar playing is coming along.
Oh, yeah. How is your midlife crisis?
It's not coming along very well.
No.
It's taking
a
while. What do you mean? You don't think I'm a natural with the strings? No? I've learned to play Jingle Bells, actually. It's a very slow process. Do you play?
Jam out on that,
right?
Do you? No.
Oh, well, then shut up.
I'm just saying.
Don't start ripping me. I'm
trying,
at least. You love your music.
Well, obviously you're
not
trying.
You love your blues, too.
Obviously you're not trying.
Well, no, I am trying. I'm just really bad at it.
Oh, okay. Fair play, then.
But you're a big blues fan, right?
Blues and jazz.
So, and jazz, so surely you'd pick up the older axe?
No? Never.
Give it a whirl. There's some pretty easy blues riffs, from what I understand, which I'll get into after Jingle Bells. Okay. With Defoe leaving, this is Ivan Hrnčić asking
good idea.
This.
We'll do a live podcast around Christmas time. And you'll,
I know.
You'll
just
bring
jam.
The guitar.
All right, bring the amp in. Yeah.
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell. Sharing the guitar.
It's one string. Actually, two strings.
Strumming along.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Punters will do a little song and dance. You know?
Punters is no longer with us.
Oh,
Jim was here.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah, after we ripped him last week. We fired Dunlop. That's why he's not here.
Where is he? Is he in New York this week?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I think he's like performing on Broadway or something. He's watching some shows.
Yeah. Ivan Enriquez asks, with Defoe leaving, we assume he's leaving.
Yes.
Who is TFC going after? Can Laba come back?
Laba's not coming back. Vancouver is going to retain him. And there's all kinds of sort of speculation as to guys that TFC would have to go after.
Lawicki said that if Defoe leaves, we know who we're going after, right?
Well, I'm sure he's got I'm sure he's got sort of people like identified, but whether he can bring them in or not is.
You got some names?
Like, I do.
Rumors?
I,
who?
I do, but I can't say.
Come on.
No, I can't say.
Come on.
Are they as big as Defoe? Yes. Like, not in stature, like actual names.
No,
he's pretty small.
Absolutely. Yes, there are.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
Are they old?
One is old, one is a bit younger than Defoe, and then one is, I'm trying to think, he's considerably younger than Defoe.
Are they blow your socks off names?
Yes.
Really?
Wow.
So it's not Bobby Zamora.
Hey, I'd be impressed with
Bobby. I would think he'd score
great.
Goals here.
Absolutely.
And see Defoe goes to QPR.
Yeah.
Back comes Zamora. It's meant to happen. That's about it from the tweets. They're all pretty useless.
Oh, that's nice.
That's very nice of you.
I didn't give them much time.
Excellent.
All right, weekend. We mentioned already Liverpool-Chelsea.
Bright and early.
Do you see any way at Anfield?
Sure.
See, Chelsea actually, if you look at their results since that 6-0 win, haven't been that great. They've won narrowly against Shrewsbury Town in the Cup. They obviously won narrowly yesterday.
Drew at Man United.
QPR, they won 2-1.
They didn't win yesterday, they drew.
Sorry, they drew yesterday, thank you very much. So,
QPR 2-1.
But, you know, great teams get points when they're not playing well. They're not blowing teams away. That being said, do you think they'll go to Anfield and park the bus like last year, or are they going to sense and smell some blood?
I think they smell blood. I think they can go to Anfield with a great deal of confidence, and they can like lay a marker down and say, if they go in there and like, you know, play like they're capable of playing, and like Costa and they're all sort of on their attacking, you know, forefront, I think this is a big opportunity for Chelsea to lay down a marker and really make a statement. So, yeah.
Even with Colo Touré playing at centre-back?
Well, especially with Colo Touré playing at
centre-back. It's definitely a statement game, but are you guys like me? Are you ready for Chelsea to just lose a game in the league so that we can stop this, like, Invincibles talk?
Yes, it's too early for that.
What is going on? I keep hearing it.
It's crazy.
Chelsea could do it. Arsene Wenger's talking about they could match. I don't know if he's playing mind games there, but give me a break. Let's get to 25 games before we would mention that.
Or at least
not going to happen.
At least till Christmas.
It's a bit never going to happen.
This is the kind of game they can lose as well.
Absolutely. Of course it is. Coming off a trip to Slovenia midweek, it's an early kickoff on Saturday. Of course they could lose
Refresh, invigorated Liverpool side.
Yes,
star
exactly.
players, all the world-class stars. Players,
When
fresh
the
legs.
Hell is Sturridge coming back? Is he like
He traveled with them
ready?
To
Yeah, but they wanted to take him for the experience.
Yeah, the experience.
It's just
please.
Like, the mascot, Ricky Lambert, they took for the experience.
Yeah, Lambert can't get in the bench.
Poor guy. What an awful career move for him.
What an awful signing. What an
awful career move. Oh, you're a boyhood fan. Go. This guy was having the time of his life after toiling in the lower leagues for 8, 10, 12 years.
When he got offered. I mean, this is boyhood club.
To sit on the bench?
Old.
Yeah, but he had to have known, James, that he was going to, it was probably going to turn out for him like this, right? That he
oh, yeah. I think
was
so.
Getting England
He didn't have any ambition of, I think, starting beside Daniel Sturridge for,
So then why go then? I mean, I get the lure of his boyhood club, but.
That's a big allure, right? The guy's in his early 30s, right? You look at Southampton with a new coach. I know they signed Graziano Pelé to, I guess, somewhat replace him.
Right.
But you've got Jay Rodriguez, who's really the man there now, although he's still not playing, he's still hurt. He probably saw, I'm not going to play many more games at Southampton. He thought, this is my one chance to play, go back to Liverpool, where I started my career, actually. A team that, his family are ingrained in. Mm. He loves this club.
I think,
from an ambition standpoint, I understand what you're saying. You can play every week, but from your heart is sometimes stronger than your mind, right?
Yeah, I guess.
It has to be that.
I don't know. I would have made, for me, if I'm in his spot, I just would have stayed at Southampton. He's going to get more playing time.
He might get loaned back there in January. You never know.
He might be back, yeah.
They're playing Leicester, Southampton. Keep winning games, don't they?
Oh, they'll win another there.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Though the schedule will be getting tougher soon, but not quite yet.
Not quite yet.
It's been a pretty easy schedule, but that's taken nothing away from them. Read a great article, actually, this past week. I forget where it was, about Southampton and how their success isn't based on great coaching, be it Pochettino. Or Koeman, it's the whole youth policy and how their academy is so strong.
Yeah,
the whole system they play is carried through the ranks, and these kids are coming in again this year. You're seeing some kids getting some time, and they're making the most of it. They're playing really good football.
It gives hope to fans of teams in League One that maybe in a few years be back in the big time.
Yeah,
this was a team that was toiling mid table in League One 5 years ago.
Yep.
And now they're second in the Premier League in November with no end in sight to this run and legitimate thoughts that they could make Europe next year. It's an incredible, incredible story. And it's the kind of one that you root for because it's a club that has a good tradition, has loyal fans. And I mean, they're as far as you can get in England from most grounds and they have to travel all over the place. And it's a great story. And I mean, I think that a lot of neutrals are starting to see that this is a fun team to watch. And how can you not want success for them? I would love to see them mess that establishment and finish in the top four.
Be great, wouldn't it? Yeah,
be fantastic.
Any team, really, just one. Give it. Let West Ham do it.
Yeah, right.
Please.
I think Southampton have way more staying power than any of these other ones. The way that they play, they're intimidating because they can just get you, and they can play so many different ways. They can beat you on the counter. They can, set up stall or they pass the ball around, but they adapt so well to the teams they're playing, and there's such good chemistry and movement in the team right now that I think that they have a lot of sustainability to be there for a long time this season.
United play Palace at Old Trafford. Again, that should be an easy 3 points for them, but nothing's easy
easy
for United. Especially the way Warnock's got Palace playing these days.
West Ham Villa should be an easy 3 points for West Ham.
I feel bad for Villa. They're not nearly as bad as we think they are.
They're
not nearly as good as they were. Their schedule, I know they lost QPR, and then they're unfortunate against Spurs in the weekend. But prior to that, man, they played... they played City, Chelsea, Liverpool. They actually beat Liverpool. Everton, Arsenal. It's dreadful stretch of games for them. Anyway, they're not as bad. They won't go down, I don't think. Sunderland against Everton, Spurs, Stoke, West Brom, Newcastle, Swansea, Arsenal. At Swansea.
Tough one.
Yeah.
Tough one for Arsenal there. That's the, it's on Sunday, the late one.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good game.
It is, yep.
Yeah. And we have an international break.
We do. Euro qualifying resumes Friday. And we'll have, of course, across the Sportsnet network, lots of games, including
slew of games.
Germany, Gibraltar.
Oh, my God.
Scotland, Ireland, though. That's a good one.
Yes, yeah, a great
big
one.
Big battle for
absolutely,
second.
Absolutely, yeah.
In that group.
England's playing Slovenia, right?
I wonder what the over-under is on that Germany.
I would think Gibraltar. 17.
You think so? Yeah. I was going to say 10.
Yeah, I think it could be double figures.
It's double figures. You would have to think, right?
Yeah. I mean, Germany hasn't played well yet, and that's part of the reason why. Right. They've got to break out at some point.
Well, I think this is it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, obviously, the win's not in question, but it's how many. I think there's been 2-7-0 losses so far, right, for Gibraltar?
Yeah.
Right. And then Poland, one like 4-0 or something.
And one of them was against what, Ireland or something?
Ireland,
one was
yeah.
Poland and one was Ireland.
Right? So you figured Germany is at least good for 10. You would think.
You'd think.
Can you believe we're even discussing this? Oh, yeah. I think I'm with you. This could be 10 goals, which would be a record, I think, in qualifying. And then we can get into the whole pre-qualifying narrative. Oh, God.
Well,
oh,
they should do that.
Well, they should do, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know what Gibraltar gains by getting pounded by these heavyweights. I mean,
yeah. I'm with you. You can't. You get a story to tell your grandkids, and how's that really benefiting soccer in your country? Country. It's not even a country.
It's a rock.
It's a rock.
It's a rock.
Yeah. It's Alcatraz. The SAS shot some IRA members once upon a time in Gibraltar, I believe.
Really?
That's how I was first introduced to Gibraltar, living in England in the 80s. Don't know much more than that. Anything else you want to get to, boys, from the wonderful world of football?
No. I'm looking up this Germany thing now. I'm just interested to see what the line is. I'm trying to find it. I don't even know if there is a betting line.
There can't be. Oh, there must be, right? There will be.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Germany.
What's Gibraltar paying?
What is that? 45 to 1? I don't know. It's in decimals. I don't like decimals. Mm. Not
so
logged
plus in. Plus 450?
No, more than that.
I know.
I'm not logged in. Anyway.
I know, whatever. Moving on. J-Mo, what's happening this weekend on the network? Do you know?
On our television network?
Yeah. Well, Liverpool-Chelsea.
Well, Liverpool-Chelsea, we're showing that, yeah.
I know that.
Showing and QPR
City in the late 12. One. In between, we have West Ham against Villa.
Yeah.
On Sunday, as already discussed, we have Newcastle Baggies.
Yeah, and then what's the other one on Sunday?
Check out sportsnet.ca.
Newcastle, I can't remember.
See, as I mentioned, it's the most ill-prepared podcast.
I know.
You'll hear this.
Check sportsnet.ca.
Yeah. Just check the broadcast schedule.
Anything else in sportsnet.ca you want to talk about?
Well, your EPL Q&A is going to go up tomorrow.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the weekly Q&A that we do with you.
All right. One of those massive hits from the website.
Yeah. We'll have plenty of video previews. Should mention, for wrestling fans.
Tom?
Bad News Barrett, apparently going to be in studio with Jerry and Craig and Dicko on Saturday during the QPR.
He's a diehard Preston North End fan, apparently, and Dicko used to play for Preston North End. I'm hoping that Bad News Barrett hated Dicko and just crushes him. He's 6'7".
I say we get like a cage set up.
That'd be amazing.
On the studio floor and just like Dicko and Barrett go at it.
Fighting.
Yeah. Or maybe you could like body slam Jerry Dobson through the table.
Yeah, be great. What great TV would that be?
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Some maniacal wrestler beating the crap out of the on-air people. Brilliant. It'd be good for my career too, if Jerry was crashing the desk. I don't mean that, Jerry, but it wouldn't end up well for you if you're body slammed by a Bad News Barrett. All right, well, that's a podcast. Again, as usual, my apologies. Hope you enjoyed it. See you later. Bye.